Good morning. For those of you that don't know me, let me introduce myself. I'm a blood-bought child of the King of Heaven. Amen. My name is Dan Duke. For those that have never met me, I'm sure there's some in here that I have not met. I've been a Christian since 92. I want to say November of 92. But I was saved in a church camp when I was a little bitty guy. Now, all those years growing up, if I lived in the world, if I'd have gone to heaven, if something would have happened to me, I don't know. But I know where I'm going now. Right? So, in Jeremiah, and Kristen's going to put the scripture verses on the screen, hopefully. This new technology, bear with me. In Jeremiah 1:4, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me saying." Is the word of the Lord coming to you today saying? Can you put your name in there? The word of the Lord came to Bob today saying. The word of the Lord came to Dan today saying. See, the purpose of me talking to you guys this morning is not to condemn anybody, but I want you to hear the voice of God behind the words in this book. The Bible is God's written word to us, right? And we can read that. But if the word of the Lord doesn't come to us saying, what are we getting out of it? So the message that the Lord has given me today, I won't start it right away because I get the Holy Spirit gave me some housekeeping things that he wants me to do. And one of the things he wants me to do is to ask you if you really want to hear the voice of God today. By a show of hands, how many really want to hear the voice of God? Well, these aren't the only two things, but there's a couple of things that will inhibit that from happening. So I want you to ask these two questions of yourself personally. Number one, is there anything in my life that I need to be forgiven of? Is there anything in my life that I need to ask for forgiveness? Okay. And number two, is there anyone that I need to forgive? Those two things. So contemplate those two questions as I pray this morning. Okay? Lord, our desire is to hear from you today. Forgive us of our trespasses and forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, we stand upon your word today where it says to cast our cares upon you and you will sustain us. You, Lord, will never let the righteous fall. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us here today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So before I get into my message, I heard this statement in the other day, and the Holy Spirit says, share that with the church. And the statement says that most of our churches, a lot of our churches throughout the country, they're distracted. And I think the church is so distracted today that we miss out on hearing God's voice. How is the church distracted, you ask? I'm glad you ask. Work. Does our jobs get in the way sometimes? How about play? Oh, yeah. That's a big one for some of us. Our play time is so important, but I had a pastor one time that used to raise horses, and all of the horse events fell on Sundays and Wednesdays. Guess when church was? Guess what he missed out a lot on? His play time with horses. We drove by on the way, Bertie and I coming to church this morning, we drove by the arena right there past the intersection. you know, Highway 12 and 13 or whatever it is, and there's a couple of guys on horses there. They're getting ready to have some kind of horse vent, whatever it is. And I thought about that. I thought, you know, that's more important than church for some people. How about politics? Ooh, am I hitting a nerve? What's going on right now with the Epstein files? What's going on with all these evildoers in our government? Does that absorb us? Does that take up more of our time than is necessary? Are we so distracted? I'm not saying it's not important to have work. It's not important to have your perspective on politics or to keep up to date with current events. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when it distracts away from you hearing the voice of God, then there's a problem. Okay? How about, find my notes here. I might have to put my glasses on. Like Arby said, what do I do with these things now? You start wearing shirts with pockets. Maybe we just don't want to come to church because we're too busy. We have too many excuses. Do we have an online church audience here today? Do we? That's an awesome ministry, you guys. Isn't that awesome for you guys online that you can sit there, like Arby says, in your easy chair in your pajamas and hear God's word? But if that becomes a habit for missing out, coming together, that's not right. You know what the scriptures say? There's a scripture in Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and the more as you see the day approaching." Wow. You see the word day there? It's capitalized. Why would it be capitalized? This is just a note, because this is the teacher in me. It's capitalized because it refers to Christ's return. He's returning for who? His bride. It's capitalized, right? So because we know we're keeping up with current events, we're keeping up with what's going on in Israel, right? We know that the day of the Lord is fast approaching. So how much more should we not be meeting together? What's the purpose of meeting together? Strengthen and encourage each other. When we neglect meeting together, we become weaker, not stronger. And we can be distracted, which makes us more susceptible to Satan's schemes of deception. You know, there's only one way that the enemy can get us to do something that we don't want to do. You know how he does it? Through deception. He can't force us to. He can only deceive us. We meet together in church to be edified and to edify one another. I would encourage everybody here. I've heard the excuse, you know, I don't think I'm going to come to church for a little while because Arby's going to be gone. You know what that tells me? That tells me you're coming to church to hear a man. You're not coming to hear the voice of God. We come to church to hear God's voice, to get built up, to edify, so we can edify one another. So much more as the day approaches. That is so important, so important. Now for my message. "And the word of the Lord came to me saying," in Galatians 6:9, it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Okay? Let me do a little bit more teaching here because I love to teach. I can't help myself. Did you guys know that the book of Galatians is the only letter that Paul wrote to multiple churches? Think about that. Who did he write the church? Who did he write the book of Romans to? The church in Rome. Who did he write the book of Corinthians to? Specific churches, specific places. Galatians is the only letter or epistle that he wrote to multiple churches. Okay? Pisidian Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, those four cities that Paul visited on his first missionary journey with Barnabas. So why is he writing this letter to the Galatians, to the churches, okay? Number one, he's writing it to correct wrong teaching concerning salvation. Wow, maybe I ought to read that book to find out what I got a hold of here, right? I don't want my salvation to be wrong. Maybe somebody in those churches was teaching something about salvation that wasn't right. Paul writes that letter to correct that, okay? He's defending the essential nature of God in that letter. He comes against false teachers who were confusing early Christians. He also defended his authority of the man of God that he was as an apostle being accepted by the other 12. He defends that in that letter. He talks about these new Christians in these communities as sons of God. Are we sons of God? Amen. He was truly concerned for the welfare of these new churches. And I can tell you that the pastors, whether it be Kathleen, whether it be Arby, whether it be Dan or Johnny, they are concerned for the welfare and the well-being of this flock, right? That's why they do what they do. So important. Anyway, back to my message. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Bertie and I had just watched a documentary type movie, if you will, and it was concerning the trafficking of young women. And in this documentary, this lady, she was not a social worker, she was, but she wasn't on the payroll. She worked with another man. And what they would do is rescue these women from the prostitution trade, if you will. And they explained in this documentary how that trade worked. It was out in the open. They would go to mostly in bigger cities, but major hotels, and they would bring these ladies into the lounges or the bars or whatever, and then they would go find the John, the guy that they had already set up to meet these ladies, and they'd leave these women there, or one or two or whatever, and they would go in at that time. They knew who they were. They could just tell, and they would go in and try to coax those girls away from those men before they came back. And they would go in, and it was so hard, you guys. In the movie, it depicted that young lady, come with me, come with me. I won't hurt you, I promise you. I'm going to help save you, you know. And it was difficult. Sometimes the girls would come and sometimes they wouldn't, because they were so browbeat, they were so afraid that if they just mistreated or got out of line, they would lose their cell phone privileges. That's one of the way they hooked these young women into this trade, was they would give them cell phones. And of course, through the cell phones, they could track them. But what's a cell phone to a young teenage girl? When they've been in captivity, when they don't have anything, all their rights are, that's like, man, that's awesome. Here's a cell phone. If you promise to be good, I'll give you this cell phone. That's like gold, riches, right? And also through those same cell phones, that's how they track the Johns. Did you guys know that? Businessman would be on a trip out of town. He would come to this this hotel, and he'd read an ad, you know, hey. So he'd dial the number, right? As soon as he dialed the number, they had him. They knew where he was. They knew who he was. They knew who he was. They knew where he worked. They knew where he lived. They knew how many kids he had. They knew his wife's first name. You were tracking with me? So not only by trafficking the women do they hook them into this lifestyle, now they've got these Johns on the go too, because they can blackmail them. It's money. You guys, all about money. So anyway, back to the story. This young woman, she was she rescued this girl, and they got her into a safe house. And the man that's working with her, man, they did this really good thing. And she came out of there, and she says, you know, she says, I just can't do this anymore. I just can't do this anymore. And she was just beside herself, and the man was going, what are you talking about? Man, you can't believe it. We just rescued this young woman. And she says, I just can't do it anymore. And she was adamant about quitting, giving up. And she goes, for everyone that I rescue, they put 10 more out on the street. That's a fact. And she says, I'm just not making a difference. I'm just not making a difference. So Bertie and I, we watched that film, and quite emotional. Anyway, at the end of the film, this documentary, this lady was ready to give up, and they took her into this halfway house, and it had about 10 or 15 girls in there. And she had personally rescued three or four of them or whatever it was. Now don't quote me on all the facts of the show, but that's not what's important. What's important is she went in there and she realized these women started coming up to her and thanking her and hugging her. And they were doing so good. They were dressed properly. They were being mentored. They were finding out where their lives were to pick up their lives from that day forward. And she decided that she would just keep doing what she's doing, okay? So we watched that documentary, and we went to bed, and this was about a month or so ago. And I'm sleeping, Bertie and I are sleeping, and I wake up in the middle of the night, and the Lord says, I want you to give this message to the church. It wasn't about the women. It wasn't about trading the women. The message is that. Don't become so distracted, church, that we give up. This message is for me, I know it is, but it's for some other people in here too. Don't grow weary. Don't give up, okay? Get my scriptures. Don't grow weary, give fully to the work of God. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul tells us, therefore, and you guys know what you do with that word therefore when you see it in Scripture? You ask what it's there for. The word therefore always takes you back to the previous chapters or verses or whatever, the thought, okay? But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, she has it up there. Technology is awesome, huh? And I told her to leave these scripture verses up. We're going to read through it, but there's so much in there that we can reread it. As I'm talking, you'll look at it, and you'll reread it, and you'll go, wow, maybe I need to go back and find out what that word therefore is all about. But anyway, Paul says, therefore, my brothers, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. How many of you guys have sometimes been laboring in the Lord and you don't see the results, or you feel like, wow, nothing's really happening? That verse is for you, right? Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's two verses there, verse 1 and verse 16. There again, this is Paul talking, 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 16. Therefore, Paul loves to use that word. Since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. So you guys are going to have to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, maybe chapter 3, and see what Paul, the ministry Paul's talking about, because I'm not going to enlighten you this morning. Okay? Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. And in verse 16 he says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. More teaching opportunity here. Is that up there? Yes. Outwardly, we're all growing older, aren't we? We're wasting away. Outwardly literally means our mortality, okay? It's our life's troubles, if you will. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Inwardly means we're being renewed for eternal purposes, okay? Outwardly we're decaying, we're all dying. Inwardly, we're being renewed for eternal purposes. Don't lose heart. Don't grow weary. And then in Hebrews 12:3, the word of the Lord came to me saying, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Who is him? Jesus. Consider him, consider Christ, who endured such opposition from sinful men that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Wow. Do you guys get the message today? Is it? Do you really get it? Are you hearing from God? And the word of the Lord came to me saying. And in the book of Job, we read about what the Lord will do at the proper time if we don't give up. Job 42:12. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. Can you guys fathom that? I can't. What? No. 14,000 sheep? Have any of you guys ever been around a sheep farmer? I have. Grew up in the Treasure Valley. There's a lot of Bascos down around Jordan Valley, Boise area. You know what Bass people are? We call them Bass. They're sheep farmers. And they raise thousands of sheep. I've never seen 14,000 in one place. How about the yoke of oxen there? What did the Lord bless him with? 1,000 yoke of oxen? For you guys that have mules, I'm thinking of Ron. I'm thinking of different people that have raised horses or have mules. 1,000 yoke of oxen is what? 2,000. A yoke is a pair. Right? Can you imagine? Can you imagine taking care of 10 horses? Can you imagine taking care of 2,000 oxen? Let this sink in for just a minute. You guys all know the story of Job, right? 6,000 camels, those things are nasty. And the last one, 1,000 donkeys, you can get them donkeys out of here. Right? Think of how many men, how many people that he had to be blessed with in order to even take care of this livestock. Think of all the fields and the hay and the water, the wells. the Lord blessed Job in the latter part of his life. God's restoration of Job's fortunes reveals God's purposes for all believers. It emphasizes that no matter what hardships, what pains we experience, in God's time, he will reach out to help those who persevere. As a matter of fact, in James 5:11, it says, "As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." See how scripture ties together? You read in Job all the struggles, all the pain, all the death, and then you read in James, he affirms just exactly what the Lord did. Right? Did I put that one up there? James, that's a great book, isn't it? And finally, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, it's the last sentence in that verse. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." What do we do? Why are we doing what we do? We all want the crown of life, don't we? You guys know what the crown of life is? I don't know exactly, but I'm looking forward to it. And someday I get to lay it at the feet of Christ. And Paul describes the crown sometimes as an athlete running a race, and he's going to receive the crown. It's a lot of times it's a wreath of leaves or branches. This crown also refers to the crown that Jesus wore, the crown of thorns. We don't have to wear that crown of thorns, even though we'll have struggles. I think in this scripture verse isn't up here, but in Timothy, in I think it's 2 Timothy, talks about the trials that we'll have in this life, especially as we see the day, capital day, approaching, right? We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. God never promised us a bowl of cherries. He did promise us that we would have struggles, that we would have trials. But we can't give up. Would you put Galatians 6:9 back up there again? I want you guys to memorize this verse today. Galatians 6:9. Right? Let us not become weary. I just want to encourage you. How do you not become weary of doing good? Come to church. Get edified. This building should be packed out. It should be full. Our communities around here have a drug problem, don't they? Then we can't stop. We have to not grow weary of doing good. Because at God's proper time, what'll happen? We will reap a harvest. If, the big word if, we don't give up. There's always has to be an if, huh? Don't give up. Let me encourage you today. I'm going to end with finish this up with a short story. And I know most of you have heard it. It's an old story, but I'll say it again. So if you've heard it before, just don't turn to your partner, don't look around and say, "I know that story, I've heard it." Just listen to it again, but let it pierce your heart. Let it get a hold of you to cement in for us not to grow weary. See, when we come to church, when we come to a meeting like this or this building, it's for edification, right? I think I left out a verse. I know I did. We meet together, and I'll just read it to you. It says, let us not give up meeting together as some of you are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and the more as you see the day approaches. No, I did read that. I did read it? Well, there is one I left out. I know I did. Oh. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn. Did we have a hymn this morning? Did we have some music? Right. Or a word of instruction? Yeah. John had a tremendous Sunday school class. We had a tremendous discipleship class. We had some lively discussion in there. It was awesome. Right? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation or a tongue and an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. So come to church, get strengthened, and then when we go out from here, then we practice church. That's when we really have church. See, we come here just to get edified. Then when we go back out, that's true Christianity. That's church. The body of Christ is doing what he's been told to do by Christ. Okay? But I want to end with this story, which will emphasize what we're talking about. Bertie and I lived over on the Oregon coast for 4 or 5 years. We moved from Idaho over to there. And we had some family over there, but we always wanted to kind of live. We liked the coast. We liked the beach. We liked the sand and the warm weather. And we don't like the rain, but we like everything else. But so we moved over there for a few years, and so I'm embellishing on this story. I'm making it my own. But there was one time there was a big storm came through. You guys hear about the tsunami warnings they had last week? That big tsunami earthquake? You're keeping up with that news? But they issued tsunami warnings for all up and down the coast, Oregon, Washington, California, Hawaii, right? Alaska, all over. And anyway, we lived over on the coast, and there was this violent storm happened one time. And it was bad. It was a pretty bad storm. And this is the story part. There was a little boy. He was down on the beach after the storm, and thousands, tens of thousands of starfish got washed up on the beach. And the little boy's down there, and he's picking up these starfish, and he's flinging them out into the ocean. And listen to the heart here. I know you've heard this story. And there was an older gentleman sitting on, if you know how, walks down to the beach. And he walks down, and he says, little boy, he says, what are you doing? What are you doing? And the little boy says, he's flinging these starfish out. And he says, I'm saving these starfish. And the older gentleman looks down the beach. He says, little boy, there's tens of thousands of starfish on this beach. You can't possibly make a difference. And the little boy looks down and he picks up this starfish and he flings it out into the ocean. He says, you know something, mister? It made a difference to that one. I want you guys to make a difference to that one, right? There's some unsaved people in the sphere of our influence. There's some drug addicts in the sphere of our influence that we can absolutely make a difference if we're willing to not give up, don't grow weary of doing good, and in God's time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Dan?